Hey guys, it's Painkiller already, and this week our guest host is All Sham No Wow. This is number 19.
Hello.
No, number 20, our 20th video. I think we are the longest running YouTube commentator podcast. So, All Sham, say hello.
Hi guys. Call me Mark, please. I don't like being called All Sham No Wow. I really don't. I just
really? I call you that
Mark.
Exclusively. This is the first time you're mentioning
it. I prefer Mark, very much so.
All right. Hey, one thing I want to get out of the way real quick is the audio quality on the previous podcast was not very good. And I appreciate the, say, 15 to 25,000 of you that told me about it. Thanks for that. What happened was right at the end of the call or of the podcast, it gives me like two buttons. You can either delete it or you can save it. And I guess the 19th time I messed up and I deleted it. So I had to go back to the live stream and reconstruct the podcast out of the recordings from a couple different live streams that were broken up. And it turned out to be not as good as I normally do. So I'm sorry about that. But that's what happened. And hopefully this week I don't mess it up again. So that's out of the way. Who wants to talk Black Ops?
I want to talk about
me?
Something before we go to Black Ops. it's a real quick one.
All right.
Let's just go around the table. What are you most afraid of in life?
Now, are we talking about something that actually, are we talking about a situation like, you know, your house burning down?
Let me give you mine. I'm afraid of water bugs.
What?
So we're talking about trivial things.
So let's move on.
I don't know. It's been a childhood fear of mine forever. I'm definitely afraid of water bugs. Like, I'm cool with spiders. I'm cool with rats, snakes, all that. I'm pick them right by the head. Water bug, it's something about how fast they are, and they're like black. They're like a brownish black color. And I know they can't hurt you, but they're creepy as hell.
Wow.
So whenever the Olympics are on and you see those Ugandan runners, do those terrify you as well?
No, they don't have wings, and they don't like scurrying around in like in porcelain.
Okay, just checking.
That's one of the silliest things
I've ever heard to be afraid of. I've heard of people being afraid by spiders. I'm afraid of scorpions. I'm also really afraid. I'm really afraid of centipedes because one got in my bed once when I was like 11, and it actually bit me. I think they sting you. Actually, they have venom. And I was, like, terrified. I jumped out of bed, and there happened to be a hammer on the floor because I had been, we'd been putting molding along the baseboard, and I just beat it to death into the carpet, like, till there was nothing left. And ever since then, I'm just, like if I see one, it's, like, I got to crush it. Terrified of centipedes and millipedes. They're pretty much the same thing, if you ask me. But as far as, like, real-life stuff that could happen, which is kind of where I was going, it sucks when something burns down, man. When you like lose property, like a house burns down, that's really like a hopeless feeling because you just sit there and look at what's burned down and you think about all your shit that was inside that's gone.
That's what homeowners insurance is for.
Dude, homeowners insurance doesn't cover like your family pictures and sentimental stuff and like that shirt that smelled like that one girl that you went out with that time and you know what I mean? Like there's sentimental stuff in my house
clothes?
That I wouldn't believe. Not if it smells like her. Get that bad boy out. Take a whiff every now and then. Oh, yeah.
I just called her up and asked her perfume and just, like, spray it on the shirt every now and then. Just get a big upgraded whiff.
That's not the same. It needs to be... Oh, gosh. No, it needs to be earned, man. Mark? Geez.
I guess I'll go next. Bees are my biggest thing. Anything with a stinger, if you see me outside and I see a bee, I will probably duck and run for cover, and it looks very embarrassing. But that's really the only thing that scares me to death is just anything that can move fast and has a stinger on it.
Man, I'm so struggling with this. So my original answer was losing my family. So here's the, like, if you guys don't have a family yet, you know, my wife and two kids will drive in the car all the time. And it's everything that means anything to me in the world, just like rocketing around the freeways here. The chance of losing them all at one time is not likely, but it's genuine. And it would just change everything I'm about, right? My life would be over. And so that was where I was going. But since we're looking for, like, trivial, irrational fears, I'm stuck. I can't think of any. I don't know. I'm not scared of bugs or lizards.
Are you afraid of male pattern
baldness? Rats. No, I am rocking a nice head of hair. So I think, I'm 37. I would know if I was losing hair by now. And
I'm about to break down dysfunction.
I said
something in the chat, but I wanted,
complete control.
He's learned to deal with that over the last few years, so it's not really a fear anymore.
Yeah, there's a hurricane miles away from me, and I'm bummed that I'm not surfing it.
Where is that hurricane anyways?
I think it's off the North Carolina shore, something like that.
Oh, I don't even think we got a storm around here from it, so.
Yeah, the weather was just nice today, but... yeah, man, I should be... Shucks, maybe I'll run out there this weekend. It's always glassy when the hurricane passes. I should check that out.
It's been a while since we had a good hurricane. I like all the people that just get running, get scared when hurricanes come. I stay in the house and play video games.
They buy up, like, 100 gallons of water.
Yeah, it's
like loaves of bread.
Go to the store and the fucking grocery store is emptied out. I'm like, we make a big old pot of soup. That's all we do.
I don't even remember the last time I evacuated for a hurricane. It might have been back when I was a kid.
I've never evacuated when I was a hurricane. I went through Hugo when I was like 4. And we didn't evacuate then either.
I was a kid. You guys probably weren't born yet. We evacuated for a hurricane. And it was funny. I was like 12 years old, and I was surfing. And they evacuated us. Like, I was surfing so deep into this hurricane that they didn't let me shower. Like, I just had to run home, get out of my wetsuit, and leave the island.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah, it was cool.
All salty.
My mom embarrassed me. She's on the beach, and my mom, she was a little heavy, and she's on the beach with her arm above her head, waving back and forth, and like her arms would go one direction, the boobs would go the other, and they're just like everything's shaking, and she's like, "Matthew, come home." Yeah. Yeah, and there's me in front of all my surfing buddies, thinking we're badass in the hurricane, and yeah, hi mom. So,
yeah, we're talking about things that people are afraid of, and in the chat they keep saying Kyle's dad. I got a quick story about something that my dad did this weekend this week. It's pretty crazy. He went and bought these three nail guns, and two of them are the kind of nail guns that you use for like hardwood and tongue and groove. They're the kind that you actually hit with a hammer, and they drive the nail in at a really sharp angle. And the other one was like a professional-grade pneumatic nail gun. And he had bought them because they all had something wrong with them, and he likes tinkering with stuff. And so he had ordered the parts for them to repair them. And he's sitting there with this pneumatic nail gun that he's not really familiar with, and he's got it sitting on his lap, and he's working on it. And he's like, "So how does this work?" And he goes, "Kapow!" He shoots a nail into his thigh, and all that's left is the head of the nail sticking up. He goes, "Huh. Well, it works." He gets some pliers, pulls it out, pulls the nail out, and I'm telling you, it went in as deep as my pinky finger is long, and I got big hands. Like, it was a big nail. It went all the way in. Like, I mean, I guess if it had more power, it would just shot it, went in like a bullet. But pulled it out, and he was like, "Huh. Well, I guess we should put the safety on from now on." Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I swear to God, every
Kyle's
flinch.
Dad is so bad.
I was saying in the chat that I was afraid of Woody, and there's a funny story behind it. We were playing 6 versus 6 versus people from Huppet Gaming, like subscribers, and he was in the connector on terminal going to the plane, and I hit him directly with a stun grenade, and we had team damage on, and he almost yelled at me, and I shivered and almost wanted to back into the corner. He
you know what?
Me when he called me out on that.
I'm uploading that video maybe tomorrow, and yeah, so, like, in front of that video, there's an apology to you, because like, I can't explain why, but I really cared about that win. So we played this team, and the other team was good. And I think we won the first two or three games in a row, and then they won one on demo. And the thing is, I had set the time wrong. So once you planted one bomb, you got, I think, like 6.5 hours to plant the second bomb. So by virtue of the fact that we did better in team deathmatch, they got to be the planters twice. And the planter won every time, and they got 2 out of 3. Because the time was way too long. And that was the, like, makeup game. It was like, all right, let's fix the timer and give this another go. And kind of, to me, like, get a... Like, when a fighter loses a match and the guy's, like, 19-1, he gets to sort of revalidate the fact that he's a champ and, you know, make it so that one loss didn't count anymore. That's what that was to me. It was a chance to clear a name. And I don't know. I just cared more than I should have about that game. And Alsham, like, stunned me, and I'm, like, moving in slow-mo, and then some guy kills me, and I wasn't cool about it. I'm sorry.
Oh, you pulled a Wings of Redemption, huh?
No, and I wasn't all that bad, but I think I just reminded him about friendly
man.
Fire.
I'm all about the win, son.
Mm.
I tell you, you get your assholes and elbows moving, you motherfucker.
I don't know. It's like Woody doesn't even have to yell out obscenities. It's just the tone of his voice. It really just makes you curl into a ball into a fetal position. Makes you really scared for your life.
If you stunned me, I'd probably turn around and shoot your ass.
Look, Black Ops.
The consequences, boy.
Dude, we have to cover Black Ops in this. Who was on last night, like, refreshing the Twitter every 15 seconds?
My phone had 30 tweets in a matter of 5 minutes from Hutch and Adam. It was ridiculous.
I think I know everything. Let me run through a few things, and let me know if anything that I know is new to you, Woody. All right, so there are the tomahawks. There's the mode where basically, like, weapon attachments aren't from kills anymore. They're bought through currency. So the currency is earned by killing people, just like XP is. And, like, say if you want a grenade launcher on your M16, you can save up $1,000 and then buy the grenade launcher, completely skipping through the red dot, the reflex, grip, and all that stuff, and just go straight to grenade launcher.
I hear XP's gone, but really XP doesn't seem very gone. They just changed the name of it. The big difference is that the order of which you can acquire things seems to be gone. It seems like if you get 6,000 bucks, you can get your chopper gunner before. I guess in Killstreaks is not a good example because there's no order there either. But like with guns.
Well, there's now.
See, that's the opposite of what I thought. I thought with the Killstreak, you get, we'll call it currency, but it's 5 levels. And then you can open up any Killstreak you want. So Modern Warfare 2, there isn't really an order to, if you want, say, Predator, Harrier, Chopper Gunner, you can open Harrier and Chopper Gunner with your next 2 unlocks. So you don't have to earn them in a row. But with other stuff, like guns.
Yeah.
If you want an M4, that's a bad example too. If you want an AK-47, you have to get all the way to level 70. In Black Ops, it appears as if you want an AK-47, as soon as you have enough money for that, you can get it. Like, you don't have to wait. And we'll see. But, that might be off. But I think that's a pretty neat concept.
Yep.
Also, you've got...
That's going to lead to Wings running at 16 straight out the gate.
Wings going to be showing us how to one-man army in Black Ops. But you've got customizable characters, so you can change the face paint on your character. You can customize your gun, kind of like you do in Halo Halo armor. Your clan tag is on your gun now. You can customize what you want the reticle to look like on your red dot, whether you want it to be a really fine point or you want it to be a circle or a triangle. And the coolest thing that I saw was that they've got a mode where you play multiplayer maps. Everything is just like multiplayer, except the enemies are AI. So it's sort of like a Call of Duty Horde mode type deal, where you just fight artificial intelligent enemies, and practice. And
I think it is
a noob mode. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a way you might rank up if you want to. Like, if you're not down for the frustration of multiplayer.
I think it's a separate rank up.
You do?
Yeah,
I'm
I think it's
sure.
a separate rank up from actual online. I think it's got its own little thing in it.
Okay. Yeah, I thought.
If I'm not mistaken, I may be mistaken.
Way to earn
I'm just
cash. Yeah, I'm not sure either. I just made the assumption because people, I forget. Someone online gave me the impression that it was the same, pile of cash for multiplayer. So then that you could go to.
It doesn't bother me.
Oh yeah, yeah. In my opinion, the guns in Call of Duty across the board are fairly well balanced now. We all know some seem to be better than others, but they do their best. Like, UMP is real powerful for shooting, but my gosh, I could mail away for a new one quicker than it reloads. And, that'll get you killed sometimes. Yeah. But it's still a good gun. Some of the other ones, they're real quick to reload, but they don't kill as fast. And some, they have a high bullet damage, but there's a lot of recoil associated with them, and it balances them out. So I don't feel like in Call of Duty it's the gun really killing you. You know, they're mostly balanced. You just have to navigate the map to use the strengths of your particular gun. So it doesn't bother me too much if people unlock them. You know, they're not beating me because they've got great guns.
So, and I'm pretty excited about...
I'm excited about Ellen and all these newbies that just got off beating the computer, thinking they stepped up to my level, taking all their cash.
They're like, wait a minute, the computer didn't hide up in that building with claymores. What? He just ran around.
Sandy Ravage is another one, man. That guy, like, I've described him as a bully. You know, he is going to be stealing people's money in these wager matches like nobody's business.
Oh, man.
He has a gift for that, you know? He's, yeah, wow.
Speaking of bullying, did anybody catch Sean Anders' Black Ops game with the bullying? Gun game?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Me and Wings were talking about this earlier.
They should have done that. They let those press pass guys... against the banana man.
and Dr. Disrespect. They just like ran train on all of them, basically.
Wait a minute. See, one thing Hutch said was, he's like, yeah, these guys with press passes, they're actually really bad at video games, and it's been fun owning them. And he's like, oh, by the way, I went negative. Wait.
Yeah, Hutch did. Steiners went into that.
Steiners went into train mode.
Yeah, Steiners was playing the gun game where, you know, you get a kill with your Magnum, and then you get two semi-auto pistols, and then then you get a spaz. You know, every kill, your gun's upgraded. He went through, like, the first 12 or 15 guns without dying.
Well, he died right away, but then he got an 11 kill streak before too long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it might go to 20. So if you have an 11 kill streak in a 20 kill game, that's pretty good. So yeah, C-Downer's wrecked.
I felt bad. Like the time I watched him play Black Light Tango Down, he said he'd camp at the hell site. I'm like, this ain't fair.
That's the only way to play Black Light. It really is.
All right, I'm at half health. I'm going to run back and have to face C-Downers to get me some health. That's exactly what I want to do.
I still play Black Ops, and my whole objective is to stay around, at least around the health thing, and block people away from it just in case I need to use it, because that's the whole point, because you can only regen up to like 88 or so, and you know the full thing is 175, so you want that full thing, because you die pretty fast in that game. It's faster than Modern Warfare 2, if I'm not mistaken.
You know what pisses me off about that game?
What is that?
People hiding in the motherfucking spawn.
They actually patched it recently because, you know, they have the spawn turrets and they've reduced the damage of them. So I'm guessing that you can kind of run closer now and try to get people who are camping in there. I don't know.
Dude, I was playing on that one map where it looks like you're outside in like a little fountain area, and it goes into garages. Yeah. And inside the garage, there's an ammo refill. Mm-hmm. These motherfuckers was throwing their grenade at me, going to refill, and then throwing it again, never leaving their spawn.
Yeah, it does have some issues, but I think it's an okay game for the $15 I spent. I still play it every now and then. I like it a little bit.
We need to talk Black Ops, man. It's huge. And
all right,
before we get back to the Black Ops, the game, I'll say last night I was disappointed in myself for this character flaw. Now here's the deal. When Hutch got his job at Machinima, I was actually doing a Camp Hutch that never went live with him that night, that his contract flowed in, and we were talking about, like, you know, the career opportunity and all that stuff versus sort of straight up cash that he was getting through his Machinima partnership and what it meant to him. And like, I was so excited and so happy for Hutch when he got that Machinima job. It was so cool. And then when C-Nanners got that Machinima job, it was the same sort of thing. Like, C-Nanners, he owned his own, like, I don't really know what he did, some sort of production company, video making commercial type thing, using his video making talents. But I didn't get the impression that it was a runaway success, which is cool. He's young, right? He'll get more chances. But when he got that job with Machinima, it was like, oh, awesome. You know, achievement unlocked, career started. You know, and I was so happy. I wrote Sean Anders this letter, and I was like, from the bottom of my heart, I was really so happy that they had that kind of, you know, life success and getting a career unlocked. But last night, Hutch and Sean Anders, man, fuck you. I am so jealous that you played Black Ops. You guys got to play Black Ops all night long. I'm sitting here reading your tweets. And you're busting. Oh, my God. You're poning press pass noobs. Oh, man. I want to be that. Well, I want that so bad.
Let me tell you who I'm mad at. Dr. Disrespect apparently lives in the area, so he got to go.
Yeah, he went there.
I was like, whoa. I'm thinking like, okay, so if we live in the area, the directors could have went. I was like, why don't you send out a fucking memo? I'll fly. I don't give a shit. I've been there.
Dr. Disrespect has gameplay up on the channel. He has gameplay up on the channel.
Yeah, I know. Like three people have Black Ops gameplay. Hudge, C-Nanners, and Dr. Disrespect. What is that?
I was ready to pay $600 to play Black Ops for 2 hours.
Absolutely. I mean, you get a vacation to Los Angeles, I could probably work out some way to assassinate C-Nanners while I'm there. I mean, it would be great. Hey,
if you assassinated C-Nanners, that would open up a position at Machinima. I'm just saying.
Exactly.
No, nobody heard C-Nanners. Oh my gosh, I forgot how many crazy people listen to these things. Leave C-Nanners alone. He's a good guy.
There's some guy right now that was like, all right, he's like halfway out the door with a bag.
You're seeing that guy. I'm seeing the 300 guys over here emailing the C-Nanners right now. You should hear the kind of shit they're talking about you.
Those guys I can deal with, right? C-Nanners, he could listen to this and get the context. It's the guy who's got his banana clip halfway filled already that has me nervous. But, graphics on Black Ops. So what did you guys think? Well, first of all, it's hard to tell. I wish that everyone maximized the graphic quality on their YouTube videos. There are a lot of guys who are like, yeah, I don't want the thing bigger than 150 megs. And Hutch, his video quality didn't look very good. And I'm nervous that, I can't tell exactly if it's because, you know, Hutch just rendered it at BS settings or if it's because Black Ops doesn't look good. I'm not sure which.
No,
because
Adam rendered in 720p. I think Hutch was just trying to get all those videos out as fast as possible because they had to upload in two or three minute sections. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he had to keep cutting videos and rendering and uploading. So I figured, you know, he was just cutting down the quality to save some time.
Maybe. I don't know. But I hope it looks
pretty good.
Here's the thing. I don't care about graphics.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I could give a shit less about graphics.
I could give two fucks
about
a shit
gameplay.
About graphics. All about the gameplay.
If it's a step backwards from Modern Warfare 2,
graphics.
I'll be bummed.
I'll be good. What? Who cares how the graphics look? All right. There's X-Men on his uniform. Yeah, it could look like Call of Duty 2. I would play the shit out of it.
Call of Duty 2? Oh, my.
I'm pretty excited that there are no damage or health multipliers in the game whatsoever. No juggernaut, no stopping power, and no painkiller.
Oh yeah,
yeah, but I'm betting that. I want to talk about those. Is still there for where you hit the guy, like headshots and stuff.
Here's the thing I was thinking about. We were just talking about me and Onslaught because we were just playing some Capture the Flag. How does Ghost work? Does it work like killstreaks? I mean, like, since killstreaks, you got to get with your gun now completely. And there's, like, some killstreaks, for example, like dogs. I don't see dogs, like, ignoring you because you got Ghost on. You kind of get what I'm saying?
No, Ghost works like against the UAV and the SR-71. There is no cold-blooded bullshit anymore. So the noobs cannot hide from our thunder.
Yeah,
right?
Because
they're just going to have to suck
I was thinking about it. I'm like, man, Ghost would be a very highly, you know, put in perk if it, you know, hides you from the killstreaks altogether. I'm like, killstreaks are worthless.
Yeah, that's not how it is. It just hides you from the UAV and it hides you from the SR-71, which I guess is an enhanced UAV because it was a super secret spy plane. So the SR-71 is either going to give you a much longer UAV or maybe permanent UAV or a much more effective UAV, more on the lines of what you get when you set radar always on in a private match. So it's going to be something like that.
If it's permanent UAV, I'm running it every damn time.
So what is the is it Blackbird? Is that what the kill streak is?
The SR-71 Blackbird was a spy plane during the Cold War.
Right. So what do you think it translates to in terms of gameplay? Is it going to? It's not a bomber.
We're just talking about that. Reconnaissance.
It's like a super UAV.
What the heck is a super UAV? Like it was. It's a
maybe it's one that just keeps
like
radar up completely.
Yeah, like instead of flash, it's like...
Yeah, instead of a 3-second interval flash, it would just hold it up, I guess, you know.
Yeah, for like a minute or so, I guess.
Yeah,
you probably can't take it down.
A minute longer. No, you can't take that thing
down. What if you can take any of the kill streaks down? I mean, all they got is the AT-4. That's all I've seen.
Yeah.
I hope
in the Cold War, they were shooting surface-to-air missiles at SR-71s by the dozen. Those things are as big as telephone poles, and they almost never hit one.
I hope that killstreaks go down as easily as they do in Modern Warfare 2. Like
I don't.
Man, think YouTubers about do not.
Think about how much harder they are to get now. I want my dogs. I got to kill 11 people with my gun. I don't want somebody to like be, you know, suck ass all game and just flip to like a missile and kill all my dogs.
I hear where you're coming from, but man, killstreaks seemed really overpowered in Modern Warfare 2 until, you know, the care package glitch taught the Xboxers how, you know, easy they are to shoot down. Now my Harriers aren't worth very much at all. I think the game's more balanced that way. But I will say, you know, because I run in a squad all the time, like we're surprised, like genuinely, like wow, someone got a UAV. How'd that happen? You know, and sometimes at the start of the game, we'll mute the other team, and by the end of the game, no one's muted. They all left. They might have, you know, there might have been 12 losers or 16 losers in that game. They just roll. So if killstreaks are overpowered by virtue of the fact that I play with other people a lot, I'll be fine. But I think for the game's sake, they should make them easy to shoot down.
I was trying to think of what you would use to, like, you know, defend yourself against dogs, like an anti-dog piece of equipment. And the best thing I could come up with was the monkey bombs from zombies. You just, like, wind up the monkey bomb, throw it, and it dances. The dogs all surround it, like, they're all, like, so super curious, and then it blows up in their faces.
Now, we was talking about this. The dogs are 11 killstreak now. They're up there with the gunship, the AC-130.
Yeah.
All right, what they had to have changed them somehow to make them from a 7 to an 11. And Kyle thought they made it so you had to do the whole button press thing when they come to attack you. If you go to knife them, you got to try to break their neck instead of actually knife them.
That'd be awesome. We'll see. I'm hoping that I hope they're a one-hit kill. I hope they bite you and you just die. I want to call in dogs and the kill feed to be lit up for the next 30 seconds.
Hey, you want to hear an unconfirmed
going like
rumor?
A 20 kill streak.
Somebody was saying that the beta is going to come out the day that Reach goes live. Now, I forget the source.
Confirmed.
That's confirmed? Wait, how confirmed?
Yep.
Did JD say it? Or did
no,
you know?
I would never repeat something that JD told me in confidence.
Really? Because sometimes I watch these businesses, you know, from a entertainment practice, you know, like I think it's really interesting to watch them compete and what ideas they have and see the back and forth. Like the phone companies watch them leapfrog each other, or like the iPhone, for example, like when calls come in, you can still use the internet for other things. And I see how they stress that. I see how Verizon stresses their strengths. And Halo has a huge advantage in coming out 2 months before Black Ops does, right? From a business point, a lot of guys are going to go to Halo. They're going to invest in their own skill set. And then when Black Ops comes out, you know, they'll have a decision to make whether they want to start over on a new game or whether they want to, you know, keep doing their Halo thing that they've been doing. For Black Ops to release the beta or demo or whatever they call it on the day that Reach comes out presents a lot of people with a choice to make. You know, are you going to play the full Reach? Are you going to play this beta? What are you going to do? And that's, really interesting
beta.
Move. And for me, I'm really interested in Reach. I went to this MLG Raleigh event, which I'll talk about in this podcast, but it got me sort of interested in Reach. And so now when that comes out, I'm all jazzed about, you know, getting my shot down, being better at Halo than I am now. And when I come over to Black Ops in November, because I'll surely, you know, give it some go, I'll play it. And we'll see what my subs want to watch, too. Do they want to watch Reach? Do they want to watch Black Ops? I don't know.
Yeah. Everybody wants us to mention that JD2020 or Josh Olin, the community manager from Treyarch, is listening to the podcast.
Yep. Yeah,
so,
I just checked his
there you guys go.
Mentioned it.
Stop asking.
Yeah. Leave us alone.
They're just flooding the chat.
I don't know, but if he ever wants to, he's got an open invitation here on Painkiller already. We would love to have him on at some point.
Yeah.
Yep. A lot of guys are saying that it's a lie, that he's not really here. But
it's not a lie. I looked at his Twitter.
Yeah.
Twitter.
Yeah, he's actually on there. So, hey, JD. I lost my train of thought. I'm all starstruck. Let's see. Black Ops.
I was going to say this. I feel the Call of Duty community is way bigger than the Halo community at this point.
It is bigger. Yeah. So I watch it on Xbox.
I think I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, but I think the Halo community is older. I think they're more like my age now. Like the hardcore Halo guys, I think they're all, you know, in their early 20s. Because Halo's been out for so long, going back to, you know, Combat Evolved and playing on the PC and all that good stuff.
The was I
don't know if that matters at all.
Oh, but I wish that Black Ops did more to support LAN play, right? So I went to this MLG event, and it made me realize how important it is for LAN support to be in a game. Like, they have, I'm going to guess, say it might be as many as like 600 or 700 people playing at one time. Imagine them sharing an internet connection. Imagine how, you know, lousy it would be to have a lousy internet connection in something as important, I mean, my air quotes are rocking here, as a MLG Pro like gaming event, one that you pay $200 to enter and then you die from this lag-tastic nonsense. And from a company perspective, they should support it, because I know that how well Halo supported competitive play has extended the life of that game. People are still interested in Halo. People are interested in Reach that would have put Halo down a long time ago if it didn't have such good support in the competitive environment. And I wish that the Call of Duty series included that.
I don't even play Halo, and I watch every single MLG event that there is. I don't know. Yeah. I love watching that competitive play. I just suck at that game, so I can't play it.
Let me tell you how much I suck at Halo. They had like a gun with like little purple like laser things. I didn't realize it was fully automatic till like the last day of the beta.
I told you the needle rifle is fully auto, man. That's all right. It sucks anyway. The DMR is the way to go. I think they tweaked it and made it a 4-shot now.
I've heard that rumor, and not from a good source, but yeah, I've heard that from a bunch of different places that the DMR is tweaked like that. So
yeah.
Oh, what was I going to say? What other Black Ops intel came out last night? We talked about killstreaks, the perks. Oh, stopping power and jug is gone. Who's so psyched about that?
Yeah, we talked about that. I'm psyched about that.
I'm so happy about that, because here's the thing. And you've mentioned this, Woody, and I did a Dead Space commentary, and I quoted you in this when you said this as well in that one. You always say like the two worst things, like, you know, in a single-player game, it's being lost and not knowing what to do. And in multiplayer, it's dying and not feeling like it was your fault. Did I quote you correctly there?
That's right.
Okay, so like stopping power, juggernaut, it makes it so you really know what kind of situation you're about to get into. You don't know if you guys got jug or stopping power. Same thing with things like painkiller. Anything that multiplies or subtracts from the damage / health in a gunfight kind of just pisses people off, and I think that just removing it completely is going to make the game a lot more fun to play and a lot more interesting. I hope that martyrdom's gone as well. If martyrdom's gone, I'm a pretty happy camper.
I think the only thing that I saw was second chance, and that's the only little loser perk.
You mean ball scratch mode?
Oh my gosh! Let's bring up second chance in a second, but stopping power. So in Call of Duty 4, 5, and 6, to me, there effectively was no second perk, because almost every class needed stopping power to be competitive. If you didn't have it, then it was a challenge. So what they've really done is they've opened up the second perk to have more variety, and I'm pretty psyched about that. It's done a lot. Oh, and according to Hutch, people die slower in this game. You know, recoil is going to make guns miss, and you know, stopping power is going to make more bullets need to go on target. And I'm psyched about that too. And a big part of it is the network connection. You know, when somebody dies in a quarter of a second, 250 milliseconds, then you know the fact that you have 100 ping makes a big difference. You know, I can't compete with a guy if I don't have a good network connection, because he's killing me so fast before I even know what's going on. If that goes from a quarter second to a half a second, then the effect of a slow ping will be lightened up a bit, and that's really cool. But as far as second chance goes, oh my gosh. You know, some ideas are clearly losers right out of the gate. Some ideas, like little children can say, oh my gosh, this is going to bring the dreaded sin of multiplayer games. You're going to die even though you outplayed that guy. Second chance is freaking terrible, 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 freaking bad, bad idea. And people should.
This is like, second chance. You get picked up out of this. You didn't play World War, did you?
Yeah. It is bad. Yeah.
What do you realize? If someone's in second chance and I have second chance, they can be like, "Hey, come help me!" And I go over and I hit them with a morphine shot, and they pop back up.
It's kind of like Call of Duty 3 had the same kind of thing. If you were a medic class, you could do the same thing.
I know what it is. It sucks. It is stupid. It is going to bad. You should be punished for losing a gunfight. and you know, not lay on the ground and get a second chance. That is.
Oh, I remember playing World at War, sniping people on Search and Destroy, and they go behind something, and then their buddy goes hits them with that needle, and I have to snipe them again.
It is stupid. And then what they do in Modern Warfare 2 now with this perk is they get dropped into Final Stand. And then they stun themselves, and then you don't get the kill. So they get a death. It hurts their KD. But they kill themselves, and some guys have this move on lockdown. You drop the guy, he like insta-stuns himself, and you know, in TDM, I swear I've had games where 7 or 8 kills were robbed because of that particular move. The whole team of guys just rocks it. And It is stupid. JD, if you're listening to this, don't let it get into the final release. Second chance is a loser, loser, loser. It will suck your game out. Don't do it. It sucks. It's done.
No. Here's the thing, though. Second chance does not bother me if it doesn't punish me. Maybe that's the way it works. Maybe if I put him in second chance, it gives me the kill regardless who lands the kill shot now. Nobody's actually
asked that question.
I would not care if the guy fell in the second chance and I can move on to somebody else because somebody else comes along and gets an assist off of him. Because he's assisting me in that kill. I've already killed him. You know?
Yep. That never made sense to me. That's like you shoot a deer and it's laying there paralyzed. Somebody comes along and like stabs it in the neck. And he gets the kill.
he takes the deer from you.
Everybody, yeah, exactly. He comes along, stabs it in the neck, drags it to his truck, and then mounts it on his wall. And somebody's like, wow, that's a really nice deer you got there. He's like, yeah.
Took it down with a knife.
I finished it off. You know, wait a minute. Dave shot it? Yeah. It was running when he shot it, too. It was a great shot. But I finished it off with a knife here, brought it home. Yeah. Wait a minute. Did Dave really get the kill? No, because it's Black Ops. Bullshit. Don't do that to me.
I mean, because me and Kyle was talking about it the other day. We don't die at a second chance that often because we shoot till we see numbers. Because we have such a horrible connection. Somebody like Sandy Ravage, he dies the second chance because he puts in 3 bullets and goes on to the next guy. And while other guys drop-shotting him with a pistol.
Yeah, it's, I'll tell you what, I can deal with things like, all right, second chance and last stand, as it was known in Call of Duty 4, that was usually the least of my concerns. It was usually that martyrdom grenade that can be kind of difficult to escape. It was things like Juggernaut on a laggy connection, and those things are gone now. And I can't tell you how excited I am about this game. I think they may have found a happy median between keeping us happy, the people who are literally gonna, I mean, Woody, how much time are you going to put in this game in the first week?
How much time is in a week?
Exactly. Thank you. And Woody's a man with a family and a full-time job.
Not the week Black Ops comes out. Dude, I have rescheduled a Disney cruise around this Black Ops stuff. I am going to be home. I have 213 hours of paid time off built up, and if you think I'm not burning some for Black Ops, you haven't met me. I'm going exactly. to, yeah.
Exactly. I'm ready to come fight out? Somebody's job if they need a day off in that time.
The man cave has a lock on the door now.
I've got very flexible work hours myself, and I don't have a family. I can cut myself off from society for 6-7 years if I need to play the game. I'm really excited about it, and as long as there's just not some, there's even if the game has things in it that are like, you know, a one-man army noob tube type thing, I've noticed that there are game modes that take that completely out of play, like the gun game. The gun game looks awesome, man. I know it's like straight out of Counter-Strike Source. People are like, oh, you just copied Counter-Strike. Who gives a fuck if they copy Counter-Strike? Yep, copy yep. GoldenEye, too. That'd be a fun game type.
Absolutely.
Like, I like those cool game types like that.
So if you know, to the world out there listening, if you copy good ideas, you get credit for that, not punishment, in my book anyway.
Exactly.
That is a smart move. So I'm excited about Halo Reach, but I'm taking time off for Black Ops. So
there's just too many games coming out.
Yeah. I'm also psyched for Portal, but that's next year.
But you know, I'll say something else about Second Chance real quick. It's like,
right.
I don't know if I ever told you the story. I ran into this one guy on Modern Warfare 2 with his second chance, right? His second chance pro gives you like the ability to use like stun grenades and grenades in second chance. Well, he had dual rangers on his second chance. And his whole game was to run around with his dual rangers, I'd kill him. He'd fall down and shoot me with his dual range, then stun himself to kill him. He'd take my kill away.
There you go. Oh, my God. I can't believe you said that, because I was about to say, I used to play in free-for-alls, and I was going to make a video out of this and show one of the many ways that Modern Warfare 2 is broken. So I did the same thing, except I was using Akimbo Raficas. Akimbo Raficas from Last Stand are lethal. And I would kill the guy, then stun myself, so, and take his kill away. And I did that like 8 times in a row. And it's just, it's ridiculous. It's just such a broken feature in the game to be able to throw stuns and frags from Last Stand. It's retarded. And the fact that it's in the game just goes to show that, those assholes did not test their game. Or that they are so close-minded that they couldn't even, like, look forward and, like, imagine what a 15 to 18-year-old kid thinks about when he's playing a game. They want to steal that kill from somebody and be like, denied. They want to fuck people over, man. It's a video game, and they're kids. They want to piss people off, and you just got to keep that in mind when you're making a video game.
Yeah. Hey, since JD's in the stream, and so look, on these podcasts, we used to interact with the stream a lot, and the feedback we got was that it wasn't very good, but JD's special. I want to know, JD, is there a way to get the footage captured in theater mode from the Xbox or PS3 or whatever to your PC? So for like YouTube guys, you know, or do you need a cap card and you just replay it and capture it like a normal way? Is there some way for people without cap cards to get theater mode footage to their PC so they can get it on YouTube? I'll let you know when he answers.
Yeah, that's a really big question, because and I blocked the fake JD, by the way. That's yes, you'll be able to render and upload a clip to the web. It will be optimized for web and mobile viewing. Wow.
That's your answer.
That is great.
So, all right, guys, we're trying to take Hot Pog out of business now.
Well, it's only one game. It's only one game.
Yeah,
so.
It's one game that takes over 60% of the online gaming community.
Yeah, I record a lot of games, so I need my Hot Pog.
So to all of you out there who are listening to the podcast, since me and FPS Russia and Socrates and Ryan are running that channel now, whenever you get a cool clip, go ahead and send it. I'll set up an email tomorrow. That's where we get your top 5 plays.
We can tell Gangster Hebrew to stop putting videos on Blip. He can just upload from the actual game now and stop being a poor kid.
Exactly.
I'm just being mean to Paul.
So, Woody, when did your channel get explicit?
This one? Today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed everyone else had to click on being 18, and I thought about our most recent podcast and thought, oh, my Lord, yeah, I have to get that 18-year-old warning thing out there. I know what we say on this thing, and it's not all good. So,
well, I mean, I usually try to keep it, like, you know, politically correct, and then you want to talk about jerk-off contests and stuff. You're the one that does it.
Did you ever have that? Did you ever have that contest, Woody?
As a matter of fact, I'm having second thoughts on it. I'll tell you why. So, it's not that I can't teach this rookie who his daddy is. That's not the deal. Here's the deal. When I was in high school, there was this girl, and her mom sort of didn't know her place. She didn't know that she was a grown-up yet. So, her mom was always excited about throwing parties, when they came, she'd like flirt with the teenage boys, she would drink with all the kids, and she would party like a high schooler. And there were times, I want to say she took her shirt off one party and just sort of really enjoyed and reveled in all the all the attention that she got from, you know, her daughter's classmates. But her daughter was mortified by this behavior. Her daughter was like, oh my gosh, you know, and certain people would tease her daughter about her mom's behavior because it was, you know, it's not appropriate for a grown-up. And now I think about me having a jerk-off contest on the You Ain't Grizzbaby podcast and think, am I doing that to my kids? Maybe I should, you know, keep a little household dignity and just bow out of that thing.
Remember that feeling you had when you were surfing the hurricane wave and your mama was waving the arms?
Yeah, this is so much worse than that. She'll have a podcast in 15 years.
I wouldn't
years.
Know what to do if my mom was making out with one of my friends.
Yeah.
Whoa, hey, we're missing some important updates here from JD. JD says, first of all, we've got the 4-player co-op mode online. And second of all, yes, tactical insertions are back, but they have a way to ban boosters. So, and I would think that you can use your theater mode to go in and submit proof of these boosters and submit it. And get those guys banned.
Yeah, I'm so a little worried about the scalability.
That's
going to
be awesome.
They should have something more, mechanically driven. Like if a guy tack inserts and gets shot within a 5 foot square.
Square?
Yeah, what's wrong with me? With a 5 foot radius. There's no square in radius. If a guy, dies in that same radius again and again and again, then he's a booster and you nuke him. Make him move around. Make him leave. I don't know. Make it time-based. But,
Game mode so he stays out of mind.
That's another thing. Put in cage match. If you put in cage match, dude, you can get all the nukes you want. I don't mind one bit.
Just I like Kyle's idea. Put in a booster arena so we can go in and fuck with them this game.
Hey, Jimmy, you want a boost? Yeah, let's go play that boost game mode. What the fuck? FPS Kyle keeps just killing us all. Yeah, man. Dude, she doesn't even have a part.
he broke up our... That'd be funny.
Airbones Pro is almost a replica of a booster arena. I mean, it's full of boosters, actually.
Yeah, they're all doing the riot shield shit.
Airbones Pro is?
Yeah, they take
Bare Bones Pro is full of boosters. Because you can join as a party. It's a lot easier to manage.
Oh.
Even though there's no kill streak, so there's really no,
another Infinity Ward fail.
I was going to say, how do you boost on that? Like, who aside from G-Unit can get a nuke in Bare Bones Pro?
Yeah.
I think it's just for
camo. Did you see he got a nuke with a throwing knife?
He did? No, did he?
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
Is it a kill streakless nuke?
Dude, I'm not going to click that and give him money. Are you kidding?
I am not going to see.
If I go click his video, I'll give him 0.2 cents. Hell no.
Can't have that. So, did he get a Machinima partnership? Do you know?
Yeah, he did.
Partnership?
Yeah, because I helped him set up his claims. He's having questions.
Gotcha.
Oh, I'd have set him up. I'd have given him some wrong information.
You want to claim it's a song?
I've been like, I've been like, dude, what you want to do is like up.
You want to fill up that box they first give it to you. You want to put all that information in.
Upload that new Batman movie. That'll get so many views.
Now that you're a partner, it's okay to use Eminem songs. Go for it, G.
Yeah. Upload Batman. Upload the new Batman movie, but with the Eminem soundtrack. They'll love it.
All right. Hey, do you guys want to talk about... I have this stat whoring topic that came to me from MLG Pro. So there was this guy named Strongside, and I think he was on Final Boss, and he got kicked off the team for stat whoring. Are you guys familiar with this story? Does anyone know it better than me?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No clue.
Oh, yeah. So the story as it was told to me is this guy in an MLG event, right? So they play for like 3 days over the weekend, and they tally everyone's stats. And this guy would always play to finish at the top of the stat list in his individual, kill-death. And every weekend he would look like the best player out there. But his team was locking in like 7th place and 8th place and not where they wanted to be. Because, they'd say push, and he wouldn't. He would, play conservatively and just sort of play TDM in every game match. And they kicked him off the team. And then they started winning without him. And I thought it was interesting. Like, here's a guy at the top level stat whoring, and he got booted from his team for it. It was like, there are a lot of guys. That's like typical play in Modern Warfare. There's so many guys in Modern Warfare who play for their own KD. And people are evaluated by their KD more than they are their win-loss. And, they excuse everything except for their own KD in terms of stats. Like accuracy, it doesn't matter. I shoot through walls. And I say that too, right? I'll unload clips just in case somebody might be there. KD, people look at, and there's no excuse, and that's how they measure a player. And win-loss, they say, it doesn't matter. All my teammates sucked. I'm awesome. Look at my KD. It was my team that made me lose. And unless you're playing TDM, then I don't buy that. And it was cool to see it at the high level and hear about guys getting kicked off the team for, stat whoring, paying attention to their individual stats. I wish that...
Hey, we should tell the people in the chat to try to lay off JD.
Call of Duty.
I can't even read what he's saying. As soon as he says it, it's already off the screen.
All right. They got him right where they want him now. Let me just say this. They're being much nicer to JD than they would be to Robert Bowling right now. Imagine Robert Bowling's in the room.
Oh, my gosh. Well, the thing about... So we'll see, you know, whether JD gets, like, 402-style hate, you know, come December when there's some poor bug in the game that, you know, JD didn't personally stay up all night writing and fixing. But
exactly.
I still think JD gets hate for his Betty Juggernaut combo.
Oh, my God.
But Betty Juggernaut combo is sweet. It's his job to influence the development team and get this stuff fixed. And I would have to say he's been a complete failure. Like an absolute failure galore. In my job, I don't always have control over, you know, the things I need to influence. I need to make my voice heard. I need to sell these ideas and get it done. If they made two changes in Modern Warfare 2, if they made it so that noob tubes and thumpers, like all those launchers, didn't get replenished by Scavenger and One Man Army, and if they nerfed Commando, the Modern Warfare 2 would have been the best game out last year. And, you know, it would have been a great game. People would still be praising it now, and they'd be wondering if Black Ops could keep up with Modern Warfare 2. That would be, you know, oh my God, is it going
to... Y'all ahead of me. I'm waiting for the fucking rock glitch and fuel to get fixed.
when
I don't even go over there.
When Call of Duty 5 came out, a lot of people stayed with COD 4. You know, there was a balance in there. And if you looked at the top 10 games or top 20 games on the Major Nelson rankings, World at War won most of the time, but COD 4 beat it sometimes too. And so it was kind of a balance there as to who played which game more, even though COD 4 was so much older. That's the position they would be in now if 402 was more effective at influencing the guys on the development
staff. I'm going to call it. After November 9th, Modern Warfare 2 is in the not even top 10 no more.
No, it'll be top 10. But I'll tell you, like, people are going to move from that game. Modern Warfare 2 blew it. They tarnished Infinity Ward's good name, and you know, they even tarnished the Call of Duty series just by not making some small corrections. They freaking ruined that game, and it sucks. Now, we'll see what Treyarch is going to do with this Final Stand, Last Stand bullshit that they put in that game. They're trying to ruin their own game, too, and we'll see how that plays out.
I mean, all right, like I've said, Last Stand is, I agree, it's something that I don't like in the game, and if it were up to me, it'd be taken out. But I gotta admit, like, martyrdom's not in, right? Like, we didn't see any martyrdom anywhere. Like, just that alone being taken out, I'm, like, guessing that it's been taken out. Like, that's what really bothered me. Last Stand never really bugged me that much. It's actually kind of funny because unless somebody's good with Last Stand, it doesn't matter. For the most part, you put them in Last Stand, step behind cover, and then throw a stun grenade at them and embarrass the shit out of them by hitting them in the head with it. It never really bothered me that much. It's been the stuff like Juggernaut when you're sniping, people one-bursting you through a crack in the wall because they got a stopping power from Moss, and stuff like that gets frustrating.
Have you played hardcore?
You know, I don't.
Dude, that
why would I do that?
That Last Stand stuff in hardcore is hugely effective. So picture this, you know, you drop a guy. Well, he basically has two lives because his Last Stand health is nearly as high as it was originally. And, well, he only has a pistol. But, dude, a pistol is amazingly effective in hardcore. So you have to kill the guy twice. People in hardcore, they all rock, what is it, Final Stand, Last Stand? I get them mixed up. And it ruins that game. It ruins it. So I'm talking about the one that's a perk, so they get it every time. You know, it's really super hard to kill a guy in hardcore who's using that. And I see it in, like, there's so much I am excited about in Black Ops. I love that stopping power and jug is gone. I think that's brilliant. I looked at the new kill streaks. They all seem pretty cool and exciting. But then I saw that Final Stand thing, that second chance, and don't do that. Don't do it. You know, keep your finger
JD,
on that button.
Go ahead. Keep
that. I was gonna say, keep your finger on that button. Get that patch to remove it ready. You know, in case the community comes back with a chorus of agreement.
I'll say one thing.
Go ahead.
The thing that makes Last Stand unbalanced is the period of invincibility between your normal life and the Last Stand life. If I could just start spraying that guy with an SMG and follow his body down as he went into Last Stand and put that extra bullet into him and move along, that'd be fine. But it's not like that. I've literally seen people climbing up ladders. I shoot them in the back with a shotgun. They go into Last Stand, slide down the ladder in the most awkward position you can imagine, and then pistol me to death. And it's like, what the fuck was that? It's just the invincibility mode between regular life and Last Stand life is what bothers me.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you on that. Invincibility mode.
I've seen people get like throwing knife hit markers because of stuff like that. The invincibility being up and down.
I've got a video on my channel of a Call of Duty 4 knife hit marker where the guy went into last stand as I stabbed him. Somebody else hit him with a shotgun as I was stabbing, and I get the hit. The knife goes in. I get the hit marker, and there he is laying on the ground, pistoling people. It's pretty gay.
So JD said in the chat that the gunship is actually a fully controllable helicopter,
like the chopper gunner. So
yeah,
I wonder what
you fly with the thumbsticks.
You get everything. You get the missiles and all.
Yeah, you fly with thumbsticks, shoot rockets, and minigun with the right and left triggers.
So it's Battlefield Bad Company style.
And you know how good I am at that one.
That's what Hutch described. Hutch said that there's a Spec Ops mission. It might be called Gunship. I forget. Where you sort of aim out the side and mow everybody down. You know the one?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's the chopper gun.
That's a brother.
Big Brother.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Okay. You name in the Spec Ops mission. Okay. Yeah. So thank you. In Big Brother, there's that chopper where you shoot out the side. Apparently, that is in the multiplayer in Black Ops.
Yeah, that's the new chopper gunner.
Wait. Didn't you just call it Gunship?
No, Chopper Gunner and Gunship. There's two different ones.
Yeah, that's the Gunship is an actual. It's sort of like a Pavlo. I guess it's like an Apache or a Pavlo.
It's like
whatever.
The Black Hawk.
Yeah. Okay. It's that you're flying from the cockpit and you're operating the weapon, all the weapon systems as well. So I'm guessing, and I'm just like complete. This is a complete guess, but maybe you can dodge RPGs while you're up there. That'd be a cool feature. I mean, you see a stinger coming, maybe you press a button and release flares. That'd be great. I like that stuff to be as interactive as possible.
You know, maybe we should try to pull JD in here to get him away from these people raping him in the chat room.
I invited him. He might not be interested. So yeah, I invited him in the text, and then it was repeated in the text like, I don't know, 600 times. And he hasn't said yes, so my guess is that he'd rather be a chatter. But JD, let us know if you want to come in. We'll hook you up, get you on the podcast.
We'll kiss your ass super hard.
Yeah, dude, I'll be way nicer than I am right now. I'm so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, see, he's writing, he's answering questions, and he's not talking about joining the podcast.
Yeah.
So, sorry, iPod listeners.
Oh, that's awesome.
We got stream interested. Oh, let's talk about Wings' Woody Challenge. So have we brought this up on the podcast yet?
No, we haven't.
All right. So he's doing – Wings and I have had this back and forth argument on when you're playing the objective, when you're the guy who plants bombs and defuses bombs in demo, which is my favorite example because it's so dangerous, that your KD's going to be lower. And it's not just lower by that kill. It's lower because it ends your streak. Like there are tons of times where I'll get like 3 kills on the way to the bomb and then work the planter defuse. And even if I succeed, my kill streak is over. If I had not worked the bomb, then I'd have likely made it to my 5, and that would lead me to my 7, and it would have done so much for me KD-wise. But working that doesn't always get you wins. If the timer's running down and you need to defuse, then you have to hit that. So Wings put up this thing saying that, look, I can pull a KD over 2 and still play the objective. So I watched a lot of his video uploads. And I watched him with this critical eye. Like, is he really playing the objective? But the answer to that, yes, right? There was not a single one that I saw where you could even argue that he wasn't going for the win nonstop. But the thing I will argue is on your Xbox account, you're about a 4 KD player lately. Does that sound fair?
Yeah. When I'm playing with you guys, I'm about a 20 KD player.
20 is not really true, but it... you've pulled your normal KD up to like 3.25 or 3.5 or something, and you only do that by running 4 and better for a long time. That happens all the time. And but then I noticed you set your challenge number at 2. Like, hey, I can still pull a 2 and play for the win. So
and I think we explained in the dual com why I set it at 2. It wasn't so much of your challenge, which is a part of it. I kind of tied it into it. Mm-hmm. But I always set these KD standards for people to be on my friends list or play games with me. And they're like, that's not fair. I play the objective. And I've never set a standard I myself could not hold.
Obviously, mm-hmm. You haven't looked at my KD Wings because I'm on your friends list and you would not be happy with it. I used to cage match boost before I was a YouTube commentator, and that put me in a big hole. And I've been trying to climb out of it ever since. So my KD is
you could do that. You know what my KD was on Xbox?
My KD is 1.2 right now. So
you know what my KD was on Xbox when I first bought it? 1.3. and I pulled 1.3 up to a 3. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I didn't start playing really for my KD until I was I think I was at between 25,000 and 30,000 kills. So I had almost the same amount of deaths. So that's a really deep hole to try to get out of.
Yeah, it is. It's like mine on my Call of Duty 4 on Xbox KD is 1.6 or something, and I'm literally like a 4 or 5 KD player now when I'm playing a TDM or a free for all. Or I mean, even if I'm playing domination with a team, then I'm honestly better than that. There's tons. Yeah. Throughout the night, I'm constantly going 30 and 40 kills with less than 5 deaths. It just goes back to those weeks and weeks that were spent just being excited about, you know, control. I still get this every now and then. I get the excitement factor of just me moving my artificial character around in an artificial world, and somebody else is doing the same that lives across the country, and we're shooting fake guns at each other, and it's just fun. Like, it doesn't matter if I get a kill, it doesn't matter if they get a kill. It's just fun to move around and interact in that way. And that's what really, like, got me started into video games, was just the cool factor of that.
Yeah, so games that are all about killing and not dying help my KD. You know, my KD definitely drops when I'm running demo. Or we played against a really evenly matched team last night on that 6v6 challenge. So let me just explain that real quick. Onslaught and I hit YouTube sub milestones. And, you know, as a way to give back, we do these open lobbies. But instead of just full open lobbies, we have people put together 6-man teams. And then we play a bunch of YouTube stars against them. And the team we played last night was really close. I must have died again and again and again trying to capture Bravo on high rise. And to those who say, you know, oh, what you have to do is push forward, keep them all the way in the build, you can't do that. You know, sometimes you just have to put 4 guys on a flag and cap it quickly. The high rise is
2 guys,
so small,
some riot shields.
You can, well, there that we played game battles rules, right? So that nonsense was gone. But,
they never allow riot shields in game battles.
I'm not sure about game battles, but I didn't have a riot shield class that didn't have illegal stuff like TAC insertions and, there's something else about the default riot shield class that I think makes it illegal. But, does it have TAC insertions? I forget. For some reason, I thought I could
use blast shield.
Is that illegal?
I don't know. I don't.
Yeah,
Modern Warfare 2 is gay enough without.
When I was playing Game Battle, pretty much the only thing they outlawed was like kill streaks and shotguns.
No, there's more than that. There's no TAC
and launchers.
There's no launchers. There's no claymores.
No claymores?
Yeah, no. Well, claymores are an option, but they're usually turned off. C4. There's a lot of stuff they turn off that you know, would make that riot shield. I think the riot shield class wasn't going to be legal because I considered it too, especially with the blast shield. But what I was saying was I died a lot going for that Bravo flag. And that's what it takes sometimes to get a win. Sometimes you got to take that chance. You can't just stay alive and kill whore and act like you're trying to win. It happens.
Yep. And this is completely off topic, but you may have missed it. JD put this in the chat box a few minutes ago. Mm-hmm. He said that when you're in the helicopter controlling it, you can shoot down the missiles that are being fired at you if you're a good enough shot, I suppose.
Wow. That's pretty cool.
So that's a great idea.
It's better than having it shot down in a matter of 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Everybody puts out a rocket.
If it's like the current chopper gunner or any of the current controllable kill streaks, it might make sense to turn down your sensitivity before you get up in there.
Yeah, I've noticed Danny Ravage does that.
Does he?
He'll lay down, change the sensitivity, and then go into the AC-130.
3 is about a really good sensitivity.
3 is where he plays with the
AC-130. Which I play on 3. I play on 3, so it makes it that much easier.
Yeah, on the form with the chopper gunner, you know, the way it moves and stuff, I don't always hit what I'm looking for as quickly as I can. Oh, I have a question for JD, if he can answer this and he's still around. One of the things that Modern Warfare, I think, did really right is the muting. You know, you mute them in the lobby, it lasts into the game and goes back and forth. Have you guys, first of all, have you done any enhancements for the muting, like just nuke the whole team?
Or I think JD left.
Kept it? We'll see. He just posted. We'll see. If he answers my mute question, like what kind of functionality they've built into the muting, I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, that's something that really comes in handy because, like, I mean, you'll get in there, and sometimes it'll just be the most obnoxious human beings in existence in there, just, like, screaming and, like, saying random shit. And there we go. Kyle, you can survey crowd. Their thoughts on capture the flag, carrier being visible. Huh.
Yep.
All right, what do you guys think? What do you guys think?
Sign over his head. I say yes.
Yeah.
I think the game gets. I think that it's too easy to cap if he doesn't have that kill sign over his head.
I think it should be more visible than it is now. I think you should have a consistent one going through the stage.
Should it lag behind or not?
Because I think it's like 3 seconds. Doesn't it lag behind by like 3 seconds?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now,
I think it should be shorter, especially for like marathon lightweight type thing.
I got a question. Are y'all instituting a like a limit like you did with World at War? Like you only could cap 3 flags around? Because right now that's unlimited, and it makes the games really long.
Yeah, I capped 30. Me and my team capped 35 flags against a team the other day, and they capped 0. So I don't know why they were still in the game, but it's just humiliating at that point. And I got no problem humiliating people. It's a big part of my
personal
life.
Yeah, Waze, I don't think I disagree with what you're saying about ending it early, like a mercy rule. Because when I play Call of Duty, mercy's not really one of my objectives.
Yeah, but I'm looking to get the win fast. Like if we're dominating the team, I don't want to sit around and get 17 flags on them while there's 2 people in the game. I want to get that win and move on to the next team in the next lobby.
Well, I think everybody wants the flag carrier to be always visible, just like in Modern Warfare 2, because. Especially running a marathon and lightweight now, I do know that those things have been toned down in Black Ops. But when you're moving that fast on, say, a large map, you can completely lose sight of the flag carrier. And in public games, you don't have the kind of coordination and callouts that you do when you're playing with a full party. And nobody's going to know where that flag carrier is. So having an icon above his head, even if it does lag a little bit behind, at least lets you know what direction he's heading in, and gives you a chance to take some kind of action. But If you've got it set up so the guy can just grab the flag and then run for 3 seconds, and then all of a sudden no one knows if he's running up the left, up the middle, up the right, or if maybe he's just camping with the flag. Think about this. You got to think about what little kids do in online games. Sometimes they'll just grab the flag and hide with it.
Oh god!
I've actually run into a lobby.
I've grabbed the flag before and dared people to come at me.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
I ran into a game one time where somebody took the flag and they had a riot shield and it was on terminal and they were at the bottom of the escalators and there's those two big glass like boxes and he went in between them and stuck his riot shield out to where we couldn't kill him and he just sat there for almost 10 minutes with a flag. It was really annoying.
And if he had one man army, then he could have like pressed one man army, turned around, pointed his riot shield
and he was putting attack and search down, so if he got killed he would respawn right back.
Oh, he's not smart then. See, he should have went with C4, and he could have just kept killing you guys as you came to get him.
I ended up just YouTubing him from Red Roof. It ended.
Yeah. But that's the sort of thing you got to keep in mind whenever you do something like say, making the flag carrier invisible, because they will go hide, and they would be using – like this is what I was doing. This is what I would do to make a YouTube video if that was instituted as described. I would put on the – I can't remember the perks called, but the one that makes you invisible from UAVs and the SR-71. I'd put that on, grab the flag, and I'd go hide with it. And I would just sit there, and I'd make the video to point out that was a mistake in the game. I'd be like, well, I sat here for 10 minutes, and I ruined the game for everyone in the game. So I'd say this is sort of a game-breaking feature. So having the icon above their head, whether it lags behind or whether it's just right on them constantly and you can tell exactly where their position is, one way or another, that needs to be instituted into the game.
I think they need to speed it up. I think it needs to be constant. Like so many times I'll be defending and somebody actually grabs the flag and I look for that icon to see which route they're taking. But by the time they take I see what route they're taking, lightweight and marathon has took over and there's no chance I can catch up with them.
Well, see, halfway that's another thing. They're toning lightweight marathon down, so we're not going to have the speed demons that – like, oh, my God. At this point, someone runs into a room so fast that you almost can't hit them. Yeah. I was running around with lightweight marathon the other night, and Socrates saw me running. He's like, whoa, you scared me. You're like a ghost coming around the corner, like a little speed demon.
Have you guys heard anything about new objective game types? So we've seen the gun game. We've seen a bunch of new free-for-all models. But
when Modern Warfare 2 came out,
like Demolition was new, Capture the Flag was new, and that might be it. Third person, if you count that nonsense. Is there anything new, like a... I don't know, some sort of global thermonuclear
war. Oh, hell. Somebody just said Commando.
Yeah, JD just mentioned that Commando's in the game.
The Commando the gun.
No, Commando the knife.
Oh.
The pro Commando.
JD said Commando's in the game?
Yeah, he said they've toned down Marathon Lightweight and Commando. And instantly everyone in the room goes,
no! He said it doesn't exist as a perk. He just said that.
Oh. Okay. Well, I guess it's attached then?
It's a gun. They got a gun.
Yeah, like I said, there's a gun called the Commando.
Okay. Okay, so it's not a knifing perk, am I correct?
I'm going to call that a naming fail. You know, they should not.
I think they did it as a joke. I would be pretty sure they did it as a joke.
He just rickrolled the whole party. I like that.
See, that right there is the sort of thing that Robert Bowling would never do. See, I wish Robert Bowling had come to, like, the community at times like this. I mean, we've got, like 1,500 people in here or something. Like, you can instantly get the barometer of how people feel about certain features in the game. Like, all you had to do was say the word commando, and you literally had dozens and dozins of people like, no, don't do it.
I think chat's on slow mode, and that thing blew up.
I know.
It's on slow mode, so they can only post one sentence a minute.
Yeah, they post once a minute, and everyone used their one post to say commando is bad. It's like,
that.
You know, and I defended Robert Bowling for a long time. Like, I was on his side. Everyone was, you know, giving him a hard time, and I was like, he didn't write this bug. And give them some time to get this javelin glitch fixed. Give them some time to get the care package thing fixed. It's not always in their hands. They need to go through this Microsoft approval process. I defended him in video after video after video to tens of thousands of people. And now he's lost me. Now it is frickin' September, and they still haven't fixed these game-breaking problems in their game. So, you know, Robert Bowling, I know you say, like, he tweeted once, like, oh, everything's personally my fault. Dude, you know, I wish I could hang on the, well, it's my job to influence, and therefore, if I fail, since I wasn't the guy with the fingers on the keyboard, it's not my fault. It's your job to influence, jackass, and you suck at it, because the game's still broken. And, you know, you came out with that bare bones mode. What? You got rid of killstreaks? Really? Everyone fusses about commando. Everyone fusses about noob tubes. And you got rid of killstreaks? Don't think for a millisecond that you did something good. Don't think for, don't even let that thought enter your mind. You did bad. You suck. You didn't influence this game.
You took out Capture the Flag for a while.
Yeah, you took out Capture the Flag, you fucking idiot. What the hell is this guy?
That's why I'm scared of Woody.
Don't think for one millisecond that you are doing your job well at all. He thinks that he's responsible for the sales, that he built this hype. Dude, you suck. Call of Duty 4 is what sold Modern Warfare 2, not you. Your job was to listen to the community and get the feedback implemented into the game, and as far as I can tell, you didn't do it at all. And, you know, I wouldn't hire you, 402. You don't do
it. I wish I had me some more white knights like Woody protecting my name.
Oh, now the baby thing I think is uncool. Dude,
I know. 402,
you have a beautiful baby. Your wife and family are lovely. But they're not the ones I
think he got the most. I think he got the most because he all this stuff up mass, like care package, we had to wait, like, what, 2 months before they patched it? And then, right after that, map pack time, guys! You know, I'm all about map packs. I love map packs. I wish they did 4 map packs a game. But when the fact is that there's problems in your game, such as the FAL not centered on the red dot, and you're going up here trying to sell me something about this game, kind of makes me lose credibility in you.
Yeah, it's basically like he sits there and he's like, okay, guys, so I've let you suffer with the flaws in our game for the last 3 months, and I've given you no feedback whatsoever, even when you tweeted me 5,000 times in one day. But everybody give me $10.
Hey, JD, I got a question for you. Are all the guns centered on Black Ops? I mean, I know you got 3 or 4 different red dot sites here. So I know Infinity Ward had trouble centering all the weapons. Or making silencers work.
I'm going to guess that if there's any issues with that, they haven't caught them. They're not releasing buggy stuff. But,
I'd like to say something if I can interrupt here. Now, I know we can sit here and rationally discuss Robert Bowling's whole his whole job description and that he's failed at it. But in my opinion, for the most part, why he's hated is because he's just the designated punching bag because he's really the only known Infinity Ward guy who's really out in the news all the time. If it was anybody else, they would probably be a punching bag just as much as he would be. I mean, because you got to think that most people that play this game are in between 13 and 17 years old, and they don't, they don't really think that way as to what Robert Bowling's job is and whether he's doing it right or not. They just see somebody with the Infinity Ward name and they want somebody to blame, so they just use Robert Bowling as their punching bag. That's just always what I think about it.
I think you bring up a really good point as to regarding why, like, the community goes after him, because the community, you know, they need someone to yell at, and he's that guy. That's not me personally, though, right? I genuinely think I can do that job better than bowling. I can speak. I could sell a presentation. I can gather community feedback, make an economic case to my company as to why they need to follow a certain course of action. I do that all the time. And 402, if you're doing that, you're not doing it well. About to curse at him again. And it's your job to gather community feedback, to make a case as to why these things need to be fixed. And you didn't do it. Mark, I think you're on target. People are fussing at him just because he's the only one they know. But not me. You know, he's not doing it right. So, bad, bad man.
Like I said, there's just two sides to the right argument.
he's the only one we're supposed to know. He's the public relations guy.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, you know, there's obviously developers that also put these things in the game that Robert Boley didn't put in the game. So, I mean, they're as much as to blame as he is for not putting his voice out there enough to get things changed. So.
Okay. Yeah, I see your point there. You know, he probably did.
It's like I blame the guy who decided to put Commando in the game in the first place. I don't blame Robert Boley for that. I blame the guy who came up with the idea.
Death Streaks don't bother me. Just Painkiller.
Yeah, Painkiller is really bad.
I mean, it bothered me so much we named the podcast after it.
Already?
Yeah. Hey, I have a whole different topic. It's not even game related. You guys want to hear it?
So
I follow T. Martin, T-M-A-R-T-N, on Twitter, and he tweeted today. So there was a freshman-senior dance at his school, and I guess a senior girl danced with a freshman boy and got him aroused. And now the school, now their parents are complaining to the school because their son got aroused at a dance. And this is just crazy to me. Yeah. So, like, I remember my dances as a kid, and that whole arousal thing was a real issue to deal with. I hadn't trained my Johnson to be the trick roper that it is now. So it would just, you know, sprout up at inopportune moments, and I'd be slow dancing with this awkward sort of butt out pose, so I wasn't rubbing it on her or whatever. But I never thought to go after the school for me getting a boner. It always seemed like my responsibility. Thoughts?
Did maybe give the mother a health book?
I don't know.
I could just imagine that going up in court. That would be the weirdest case to ever hear, is like blaming the school for your boner. Well, what? I don't even understand how that would fall out.
Yeah.
But seriously, what did he like get pointed and laughed at and like in the middle of the dance? What's the problem here? He popped the jammy hat. What's up? I don't see the problem here.
Like, how embarrassing was the situation? Was the girl like, holy shit, look at that boner! And the music stops, and he's in the middle of the dance floor, and everybody makes a circle around him, and he's like, no!
See? The DJ, like, rips the record and stops it.
I want to know what she did, right? I thought from the other side, like, you know, did she turn around and start rubbing her butt on him and doing that whole, you know, like, you know, we're about to have doggy style dance move that the kids love so much nowadays? Or was it just kind of like a slow dance and he was digging it a lot?
Can't control himself.
Oh, man.
So, I saw that on T-Mar's Twitter and thought it was freaking awesome. Like,
are they going for statutory rape or something? Well, what's the actual charge?
I don't think they're suing the school. They're complaining to the school. And I don't know what they want the principal to do. Like, serve fattening food in the cafeteria so people don't get boners anymore? I don't know what the deal is.
What if they make
all the girls
you
ugly?
You get a boner if your pants rub you the wrong way. A fat chick, if you rub up against her, you're going to get one just as much as a hot senior. That can't solve it, Woody.
Maybe that's just you.
Now, hold on. JD is saying something in the chat, and he's talking about the dive to prone thing, and this is something that I was wanting to touch on. You know, the dive to prone is activated by sprinting and holding down the crouch button. Now, I'm a drop shotter. I drop shot all the time, and sometimes when I drop shot, I'm sprinting. Now, is there a way to disable the dive to prone? Because I don't really see it as that effective for me, and I would really love to still drop shot, honestly.
Yeah. And so while we wait for his reply, I'll talk too. At first, I was super psyched about dive to prone because drop shotting is one of those things where people put a lot of time in the game. They master the drop shot. They sort of get used to it. They do it when it's appropriate and not when it's not. It's cool. And it was a way to sort of reward people who played the game a lot. But when I saw Dive to Prone, I was like, awesome. It's going to be another tool in my toolbox. It's going to allow me to use this situation. Maybe I know some guys around the corner. I can, like, you know, fly, belly flop, land there, shoot them, or whatever, right? It might be this nice way for guys who are used to it to take advantage of a game mechanic. And then I learn that it leaves you pretty much disarmed while you're at it. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. This is going to be like...
Yeah.
Accidentally knifing from 30 feet away, you know, put your gun down, you're disarmed. It's, you know, it's going to be that kind of mistake. So I'm wondering, you know, is this Dive to Pro mechanic going to actually hurt? I don't know. We'll see.
We have a drop shotter on the team at Treyarch. We hate him passionately for the most part, but he still manages to drop shot in our playtest, so go figure. But he agrees diving to prone does not help his case any. So.
Huh. So we'll
if you guys would not mind being able to disable that, I would love you forever.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I don't really care for it. It just seems like a defensive maneuver because, you know, you're rendered, you're not able to use your gun while you're doing it. So I don't really think I'd ever use it practically.
And this is huge for me, and I mean absolutely massive. And I don't know if you listen, you've mentioned that you've listened to our podcast before. I don't know if you've heard us mention this before, but something that Infinity Ward does is at the most crucial moments in their games, for example, when there's 1 minute left or when you're losing and there's a minute left, they start playing the gayest fucking music on the planet. So you couldn't hear if fucking Elton John was breakdancing behind you about to rape you in the ass.
What is it, freaking Donkey Kong? I don't want to hear your music.
Yeah. Game sound is like 90% of my game. I play mostly with my ears and partially with my eyes.
They got Hans Zimmer. Hans Zimmer can bite me. I don't like your music in the middle of my game.
I came from World at War to Modern Warfare 2, and I was like, why can't I turn this music off? How many times you sit on that damn menu where it goes, dong, do, do, dong, do, dong, do, dong, dong.
Please make it like World at War where we can disable all the effects and the announcer voices. I'll listen to it for the first day or two, but the thing is, like, me, Woody, and Wings, in Call of Duty 4, for example, I've got almost 70 days of playtime. That's thousands and thousands of hours. I've got around 30 days of playtime in Modern Warfare 2. I play so much, so I get tired of that shit. And plus, as I mentioned, like, it destroys my sound whoring abilities, the ability to hear footsteps and react to them. So if there was some way to mute the all the sound except for game sound, actual, you know, gunshots, footsteps, explosions...
I don't even want the sound like in the background, like you hear like a light machine going like, bah, bah, bah. I don't even want that.
All that ambient sound can go. All I want is sounds that are caused by my player and caused by enemy players.
I want to hear the hum of air bouncing off concrete structures. That's all I want to hear.
Yeah, like complete utter silence until you hear that one twig break 80 yards away. You snap around and blow somebody's brains out.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now JD said that you can dive to do the dive to prone over cover or through a window. Now that make it a practical use for me. You don't have to climb over; you can dive over it. That sounds pretty cool.
So hey, one thing I'd really like to see in Black Ops is a little more competitive support. So in Call of Duty 4, 5, 6, it doesn't matter which one, you have to set up all these modes yourselves to match the like the MLG playlists. And if, for example, the amount of time it takes to plant the bomb, the amount of time you get for, say, letting off the first bomb in demo, the amount of time it takes to respawn, all that stuff needs to be set up manually in game battles. And in game battles, a major problem is people making little mistakes. It is so easy to forget to set wave spawn delay into something, or it is so easy to forget one of the many settings. And if they had a playlist you could just pick off like they do in Halo, and you get it right every time, then that would really support the competitive scene. And the competitive scene extends the life of a game. You know, the reason people play Halo now, at least in part, is because you know, the competitive scene keeps its going. It extends it its life, and it's probably the number one competitive game right now. If Modern Warfare 2 or Black Ops or, you know, the Call of Duty series supported competitive gaming more, then it would do even better. These games would last longer than they do now.
That's the only way I can play Halo is to play the MLG playlist. I'll get into a normal game, and, you know, everybody's like whoring bubble shields or power drains or something, and I can't deal with that, so I go into the MLG playlist where everything's pretty much cleaned out, and it's just so much more balanced. I just wish they had something like that in COD with no launchers or death streaks or anything like that, you know, something that would make it more, you know, a guy and his gun and his teammates communicating, and that's about it.
Cool, yeah. So JD, he said, he replied in the chat that they're doing what they can to support competitive game within reason. We'll see what that translates into, and then he's working with the Sunny and Hastro, if you know who they are. What was I going to say? So I get that something like LAN support might be really hard to add, although I'd love to see it just because I'd love to see the best players in the world at these events live. But just to reiterate, the thing that I really need is you shouldn't leave it up to me to get every setting right in a game when I play game battles. Because if you leave it up to me, I mean, we've got a couple of losses, and we have a couple of wins, actually, from people who mess up these settings. It stinks. It should be about your team.
I got more thing before we leave.
Mm-hmm. I have a cool story, bro. Everyone's fussing at me for not calling out my cool story, bro.
I want to talk about, like, favorite zombie scenarios.
Oh.
I've never played zombies, so I'm left out of this.
Not like zombies, like the game.
Real life.
Real life. Like, I was playing DeRisa, and I was sort of like, man, you know what would be fun? If they remade The House of Night of the Living Dead and made you have play zombies in that. That would be crazy.
You know, I would do it in a Home Depot. Where you, like, grab chainsaws and hoes and, like, shovels and stuff and beat down zombies.
But just imagine, that'd be crazy. Like, I don't know.
Yeah
I'd love it. I think what we're saying is, like, a cool, like, add-on zombie map in the future would be to completely rip off Night of the Living Dead and make it the Night of the Living Dead house. Or maybe the
mall.
The mall from Dawn of the Dead. Something, and you know, maybe make the you can't rip the characters off because those are trademarked, but just that scenario would be really cool.
How about a Bed Bath & Beyond? We, like, run around and
pick up bathroom scales. No fucking
Bed Bath & Beyond. I'm just thinking, like, you could open the kitchen door and you run out to the gas station and have the barn.
Like a bunch of steak knives. Go to town.
Now, what I'm really, as excited as I am for multiplayer, I think I'm equally excited for the zombies. I want to see what kind of special weapons there are. I want to see if maybe now we can upgrade weapons more than once. I want to see what kind of, you know, and Sheena Numa, I'm probably pronouncing that wrong, that there was that, like, spinning thing of death that killed zombies, and then you got the electric fences. I want to see what else is in there. Oh, JD says, who says there's zombies?
Okay. Does that mean that there's communists, or that there's no mode there?
You can be coy with us, JD. We all know there's zombies.
I haven't seen anything about zombies yet.
I've seen zombie screenshots that were leaked.
Oh, were they called zombies?
I've got my Black Ops poster from the thing that has the zombie tally counter on it.
There you go.
Oh.
On the pistol.
JD, I think you're outed. I think there's going to be some sort of zombie mode. <He's got it. laughs>
I love that. He's like, who says there's zombies? Everybody's like, no! No zombies!
All right, it's a cool story, bro.
Yeah, I was thinking about this one. So I was when I was about, I'll say, 7 years old, I discovered a condom in my parents' nightstand. And I didn't know what it was. Like, I didn't know. It looked like a wet nap or something to me. So I asked my mother what it was. And that was the time where I got my Birds and the Bees story. So she sort of went through and explained that, like, you know, the man puts his penis in the woman and he kind of wiggles it back and forth until it's over. It feels really good and this and that. And there's another thing. Leading into this, a kid at, like, on my street, we lived on the same street, this girl, she explained what sex was to me. But she got it wrong, and she got it wrong in a really, really scary way. So, looking back, I think what she described was a combination of having sex and having a C-section. And it was this, like, bloody, put your penis in an open stomach kind of morph. Oh, my Lord. Not something you'd want to do. So my mom clarified the whole situation for me. And and this is really true. At the end of it, you know, she made me feel a little better about what sex was and how it wasn't going to be so terrible. But I told her that I was still a little frightened of the concept and asked her if she would hold my hand the first time. And she said yes. but she didn't. And so that's my cool story, bro. There's one other part of it. On the condom, and this is me at 7, it said each one was individually tested. And I told her, I know what I want to do when I grow up.
So, oh, God.
All right. How about Kyle? Do we have a Kyle's dad story of the week?
We want to get off that story.
Was the podcast rolling when I told that story about him and the nail gun? Or was that the pre-podcast thing?
I think that was pre. I'm pretty sure it was. No, never mind. No, it wasn't. No, it was during the podcast.
Okay, they already heard that story. All right.
Yeah.
No. I don't think I've got anything that's happened lately.
It was when we were talking about our fears.
Yeah, yeah. You're right.
It was right. And half the people said they fear your dad.
Yep. Yeah, that's how we get into
there's
it.
There's a reason why. Take a nail gun to the thigh.
I think that's Painkiller already, episode 20. So, thanks to everyone on the stream. Special thanks to JD, and see you next.
Sorry, you got mobbed by people.
He's right there. This is Woody's Gamertag talking now. I'm going to miss the next two podcasts. I'm going on a big family vacation. Yeah, we're going to be cruising around Europe on a Disney ship and seeing the Colosseum and the Vatican and stuff like that.
Oh, I'm so replacing you with Krunk Skunk.
All right, guys. So until next time.
All right.
Peace.
See you
later.